You're listening to Stories That Matter, a Hawkwood podcast. In this episode, we hear musician Cher McDatter in conversation with Alicia Carey in our 2021 Climate Action Lab.
I'd love to introduce our wonderful artist who is joining us this morning, Cher McDatter, who we've had a fantastic relationship with over the last, 18 months, I think it is. Although it feels like Shemek has been part of the Hawkwood community for much longer than that. So welcome, Shemek. Thank you for joining us here today. And I'd love you to tell us a little bit about your background as an artist and influences on your creativity.
Thanks, Alicia. Hello, everyone. It's great to be here. My name's Shemek. I am a musician, a composer, and then over the last, 5 or 6 years, a lot of that work has been is being channeled into sort of also making stories through videos, dance projects. So a lot of my work is becoming multidisciplinary, and then over lockdown, using the digital platforms that were available, film became a big medium. And I was able to sort of create projects with other people in collaboration with them, with dancers, with filmmakers, with musicians, and realize them as sort of digital films. So that's in essence what I do. But I come from West Bengal, which is in East India, and I grew up in the sort of in the world of Indian classical music, which is a very niche bubble and has very strict rules. So that was my foundation training in music. Yeah.
Wonderful. And tell us a little bit about the instrument that you are a master of.
I would not say I'm a master of it at all. But I play an instrument called the sarod. And the sarod is interesting. It's an Indian instrument. You might have heard of the sitar that was played by the legendary Pandit Ravi Shankar and his daughter Anushka Shankar. But the sarod, it's a similar instrument. It's fretless, unlike the sitar or the guitar behind me. It's a tiny little guitar behind me. Which means that you can glide along the fretboard, so there's a lot of sliding and gliding involved because there aren't any fixed frets. But the origin of the sarod is beautiful because it comes partly from Persia, back then what Afghanistan was. Travelers on horseback brought the early versions of the sarod into, down south of the Indus Valley and settled in different parts of India. And they tried to play Indian music, which is all about sliding and gliding, on these instruments, and they couldn't. So they had to adapt the instrument. And so the sarod is this beautiful fusion of people migrating, cultures coming together, and music and an instrument being born of the collaboration of people.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. And I'm reminded that we may have first met indeed around 10, 12 years ago at the Tagore Festival at Dartington, when your mother was also a performer and filmmaker. So just hearing you speak reminded me of that. It's great that you've now come to Hawkwood and are working with us here. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about the influence of the climate agenda on your work. When did you begin to integrate this into your work? And can you share a little bit about your project, maybe Silent Spaces and Fields of Hope that you recorded and created at Hawkwood? I'd love to hear more about that project.
Yeah. I think it was now 7 or 8 years ago when I was going through security. I tell the story a lot. Going through security at an airport, I think in Qatar or something. I was just sort of going through transit, and And they pulled out my instrument. They were like, what's that? What's this? And for the first time, I had to sort of dissect it in my head. You know, what is this instrument made out of? And it's made out of wood. It's made out of sheepskin. It's made out of tempered steel. And I was like, what's the carbon footprint of this instrument? It just made me sort of think about the DNA of the sarod, you know, wood that's been, you know, cut down to create this body, this shell, you know, sheep that have been, well, that have been sacrificed and, you know, for the sound chamber to have a sheep resonator, sheepskin resonator, and stainless steel, of course. And, you know, I think that was the beginning of, you know, so it came from a very personal place. It didn't come from the usual kind of, oh, where is my plastic going or something like this. It came from quite a personal place. And the sarod, in many ways, it's sort of, you know, when you play an instrument, it's part of you. So when you start examining what the sarod's carbon footprint is, you start examining what your own is. And then at the time, I was doing a lot of touring and flights, and I started looking into what the emissions of any of these flights are divided by the number of passengers and what does that actually amount to. And then kind of, yeah, getting into the circles in London with artist friends who were attending a lot of the rallies in the city, and the Extinction Rebellion protests. So I think that was the beginning for it for me. And it culminated in an album that I released in 2019 called Jungo, which is the Persian word for well, actually has two meanings. It means like a forest, but it can also mean a desert. So it in one word, it sort of encapsulates the two options that we have right now. Mm. And I thought it was an apt word to start that process. And soon after Django, which was an attempt to capture some of the debates and the conversations around deforestation, around you know, animal endangerment, it led, you know, directly to sort of exploring more in this world. And, you know, how can I now start using lyrics to champion some of these causes, to bring more awareness to the myriad climate issues that are being talked about at COP right now.
Yes. And I think it's fascinating because what we see is that we can know all the facts, but sometimes it's really hard to change hearts and minds to take action. And the power of the arts, actually, and the storytelling and the music around encouraging people and giving them hope to take action is so powerful. The creativity is such an important part of the climate agenda. I wondered whether you would like to share, would you like to share Jangal, or should we talk a little bit about Fields of Hope? What do you feel like?
Oh, I don't know. well, firstly, I have to say that, you know, over lockdown was the first time, you know, you very kindly invited me and my team to come to Hawkwood and produce some new work while we were there. And it's made a lasting, you know, impression on me. And the atmosphere at Hawkwood is there's something quite ancient and visceral about it. I don't know, maybe something about where it's located or the way it's situated, you know, facing west, you know, watching the sun go down. There are very few places in the UK where I've felt so connected to the earth, and Hawkwood is certainly one of them. So it's really wonderful to be working with you, continuing some of this work. Earlier this year, of course, you know this, we won the British Council Climate Change Commission, and we've been creating new music and animated films addressing climate change through that. And it's been great to be working with you and the team at Hawkwood. And so maybe I could share one of those pieces.
That would be wonderful. Has that been released yet? Is it being released tonight?
So the project, which is called Songs of the Earth, is an album which is now out, and we can put the link for you on the chat. It released this morning on the usual places, Spotify and Apple Music.
Congratulations. That's so exciting. This is like a premiere.
The premiere, yeah, exactly. I'm beyond delighted. We did a big launch at the Royal Albert Hall and performed it at 10 Downing Street recently, and now we're here. So the album's out, and at 5:30 p.m. today is when the film is launching on YouTube. And we can give you that link as well. And for any of you who are actually at COP, you can watch it there as well, in the Blue Zone, in the at the British Council Pavilion in the Blue Zone. But I can give you a quick preview now.
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay, let me try and share my screen. Okay, here we go.
Can you hear it? The wind. Listen. Listen. At the end of the ocean where the sun sets, that's where I am, thinking of you. Asha. Oh, Asha.
Suddenly there's a peace that
Oh, that is so beautiful and so also challenging to watch, in fact, with those incredible animations, really making us think about the deforestation and the fires, and so relevant that COP is indeed addressing deforestation overnight. So thank you. And it's wonderful to see the fruition of the project that has been developed partially at Hawkwood. Could you tell me a little bit about the animations and how you commissioned the artist to work on that?
Sure. I knew both the animators before the project started, and I had, and I knew that if we got it, I wanted to work with them. They're both in India, and while we were still in some sort of lockdown, it was amazing to work with them sort of remotely, discussing the ideas. We worked very closely with Earth Day Network as well, who brought many consultants to talk to us about, you know, about various issues, and the film sort of addresses all these issues: deforestation, oceans level rising. One of the tracks is actually called Oceans Rising. The film also addresses the sort of relationship of the fashion industry with carbon emissions. And of course, the fashion industry is a big player in that debate. So there's the story. We had to construct a fluid story that could take us through all these different themes, really. And so just to share a little bit about that, the film is about the journey of a young climate refugee from Bengal, which is where I'm from. Her name's Asha, and it's set in a world where she's lost her father. And she's searching for him across burning forests and melting glaciers and polluted oceans. And then in the end, she doesn't find him, but she finds something else. I've always found it difficult to really connect with those staggering, you know, trillion numbers and 2030 and 2055 and all this stuff. And I think at the end of it, if we're going to do anything at all, if we're going to change things, it'll be because the connection lies closer to the heart. You know, it has to be about our relationships with our friends, our families, our children. That is going to make us step up and do something. And us, you know, the leaders as well as us.
Yes.
So this film, we thought it was important at the core of it to have this very powerful bond between a daughter and an absent parent.
Yes, gosh, all sorts of analogies coming to mind there, but that's so wonderful to see the outcome of the project. And I'd love to hear a little bit about, I know you've been so busy being at the Royal Albert Hall the other night, but what's next for you? What projects are you dreaming up and wanting to bring forth?
Oh gosh, so many. well, straight after this one, in about 2 weeks' time, I've become an artist in residence at the South Bank Centre, and it's a project. We're producing a new project called Hope Notes, which looks at the mental health cost of the immigrant experience. As a sort of British Indian myself, this is something, again, coming quite from deep within. I wanted to bring together diverse artists from all over the UK and celebrate their stories, their heritage, and the fact that so many of us have questions that no one can answer. But actually, those questions are the same for all of us, and it's something that we should celebrate instead of feeling that they pressurize us in any way or create room for anxiety or depression. So this is a project really looking at the relationship between the lived experience of being an immigrant in this country, especially after we've left the European Union, and what that means for our mental health. And it's great to be working with you as well on this project with Hawkwood. So we'll be developing that across the winter and premiering that at the South Bank at Queen Elizabeth Hall in March.
That's, yes, I'm really looking forward to it. So Hawkwood is so proud to support over 100 artists a year to create work. And what is interesting is that more and more creatives are coming to Hawkwood, where we provide board and lodging for people to come and stay to create. And more of the focus is around the climate agenda. It's really coming forward in creativity at the moment. I think artists are feeling that pressure, the sense of wanting to address these issues, and the work has been quite extraordinary. So we've had the work of Sam Lee doing nature immersion with artists, and Matthew Barley has been with us, a wonderful cellist, also working on new projects. So I think hopefully we will become that base for people to feel safe that they can experiment and create in their work.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think there are very, very few places in the world like Hawkwood, and we're very lucky to have you in the UK here right now.
Well, we're very lucky to hear such wonderful music being produced. So it's absolutely wonderful. So we're looking forward to seeing your next projects. And is there a very short clip of anything else you'd like to share?
Okay, let me show you a little bit of Oceans Rising.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
There's a little clip there.
Oh, just wonderful. Thank you so much. The lyrics are so moving. And I love the fusion of all the different styles and genres that you bring to it. It makes it very accessible, actually. So really, really hoping that this project goes very well for you indeed.
Thank you. Please listen to the album out now and share it and watch the film when it's out this evening at 5:30 on YouTube. Yeah.
Will do. What a beautiful way to start the second day of our class session.